Okay, this is the Hadar Shir of Shar Avodas Elokim, Shir number 5. We're waiting to go in.
Okay.
Waiting to go in. Have patience. Electronic. I put it on. The shul has a thing for my shiurim, so I put it on the shul's. It's like a shiurim page. Sure. I love this.
Very good.
I love this.
It should be
No, I have people listen to it in New York. And nowadays, takes like. Okay. The bell rang. We're starting. I'm walking down the stairs. Okay, fifth year in Shar Avodas Elokim, the Hadar series. Okay, so I'm sure everyone spent the last few weeks contemplating the psicha of Shar Avodas Elokim. So I have a surprise for you all. We're actually going to start tonight. We're not going to go over the Hakdama, his main points. I have a feeling you've heard enough. Whether you've thought about it, it's a different story. I hope you have. And now we'll start Perek Aleph of Shar Avodas Elokim. Now, he gave a short, in the last paragraph of the Hakdama, he gave a table of contents. So he says that Perek Aleph will talk about the need for his Hisorus, the Avodas Hashem. The Chavit Haldovus uses the word Heora a lot. Hey, Ayin, Reish, Hey. Heora, if you see the word Heora, it's the Hey, the definite article, Hey. The Chavit Haldovus by the word Ha'ora means his Orerus, to be Nisorer, to be stimulated, to be engaged in the sense of your mind and your heart, an intellectual stimulation, what we call his Orerus, that he uses the word Ha'ora. So the first chapter, Perek Aleph, is about the need to be Ma'orer people in Avodas Hashem. Why did he write this Shar for? Why couldn't he rely on the logic of the Hakdama and just leave it up to people to be good, leave it up to people to do the will of Hashem because of all the things that he said in his Hakdama, which you all remember and you've all been reviewing the last 3 weeks. So why the need to write the Shar? Why not just write the Hakdama and then people will understand themselves what they have to do? And how are you Ma'orer people? How do we stimulate people? How do we engage people in thinking about Avodas Hashem, in wanting to do Avodas Hashem? If there's a reason to have to be Ma'orer of them, so how do you do it? That's what Perek Aleph is about. You have to motivate people. How do you do that? Now, what he says in a very short Perek Aleph, in the first part of the parak, he says that the reason a person has to be made aware and stimulated to think about the reasons of that he should be an Oved Hashem and that he should be an Oved Hashem, in other words, the reason he's writing this Shar is as follows. Now, the Chovas Halvavos, in many places in the Sefer, but especially in Avodas Elokim, says a very startling idea. It may be a chiddush that he says it, and maybe we wouldn't say it on our own. Chovas Halvavos is a Rishon. He lived, as I said, a century before Rashi. And this is his shita. And if they wanted me to learn Chovas Halvavos, you're going to have to hear his shita. Chovas Halvavos holds that the ideal way to serve Hashem, ideally, the tachlis, is that every person understands intellectually, has some understanding. You don't just robotically do the mitzvahs in the Torah. That's what the Chovos HaLevavos holds. You of course do it. You must do it. You're obligated to do it, and he will spend a lot of Shaar Avodas Elokim explaining why we have to do the pu'ulot, why we have to do the mitzvahs, why give a list? Why don't we just tell everybody to, you know, think about Hashem and to commune and to just meditate? And these are many, there are religions, so to speak, quote unquote religions, right? There are, so to speak, religions in the East. Maybe you're aware of it, maybe you're not aware of it. I don't want to be the one to make you aware of it. That they just, like, they meditate, and they just feel that they're bonding with Hashem. And these people are the biggest menuvalim and the biggest rishoim, and they have no midos tovos, and certainly they're not spiritual people at all. They're in India, they're in the Far East. People get led astray, and so the Chovos HaLevavos says, really, that's the ideal, and you reach it through Torah. So the Chovos HaLevavos holds that the goal, the tachlis of life, call it, the ultimate in Avodas Hashem, is not to stop at the robotic acts of the Torah, of the mitzvahs, but to have an idea of what they're all about, to understand them, the seichel. The seichel understands, why do we do this? How does this bring me closer to Hashem? How does not eating basar b'chalav bring me closer to Hashem? How does eating matzah on Pesach bring me closer to Hashem? I have to form a relationship with Hashem. I have to form an understanding, some measure of understanding, whatever we're capable of knowledge of Hashem, understanding how Hashem functions, or understanding Hashem's midos, and then I have to engage my emotions based on the intellect, and I have to develop avas Hashem and yiras Hashem, and I have to feel like an eved, and I have to feel botel to Hashem, and I have to feel that Hashem is watching me, and I have to feel shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid. And this, right, this has to go beyond just intellectual knowledge. From intellectual knowledge of Torah, we move on to what we would call the etzem mensch, you would say in Yiddish, or the person himself or herself becomes bonded, feels a bond with Hashem, feels a kesher with Hashem, feels like an eved Hashem. Now, so that would be fine, and that would be very nice. The problem is, the Chovos HaLevavos says, that a person's intellectual maturity only comes later in life. And for many, many years, until we reach intellectual maturity and we're able to think about concepts and the purpose of life and what the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and what the nature of our relationship with Hashem is and the reasons for our existence, right? These are heavy concepts. And for the first, I won't give it a number, I don't want to insult you, for the first many years of life, we don't think about these things. We're not even capable of thinking about these things. We're worried about eating and how we dress and if we're comfortable, right? Certainly children are like that. And really, by the time we reach the maturity of Bas Mitzvah, maybe we could move beyond that, but it's hard, it's a struggle. And a person for many years is just involved and caught up in the gashmius of the world, and right, he doesn't have intellectual maturity, Chovos HaLevavos says. So even though it would be great and fantastic if we could all be like Avraham Avinu, if we could all just think, right? Avraham Avinu, the Rambam describes Avraham Avinu as the greatest philosopher of his time and maybe of all time, and he figured out the whole Torah. He figured out everything. He looked at nature and he understood that this HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was Makayim Kol HaTorah Kula Kodem Shenitna. Right? What does that mean? It doesn't mean he had his own private personal mind at Har Sinai where Hashem came and taught him the Torah. Right? That doesn't mean that. Right? It means a Shtei Kloyosov, the Medrash says, became Shtei Mayone Chachma. He mamish figured everything out. How did he figure everything out? Well, we start with the Chovos HaLevavos' Hakdama. He certainly felt Hakaras HaTov. He felt like, why am I the beneficiary of so much Tov? Someone's causing all this Tov. And then he sat and he philosophized and he thought, and he intellectually came up with basically Kol HaTorah Kula, and his relationship with Hashem, and the Zakalish Baruch Hu in the world, and Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, everything. Now, that would be great. And really, it's common sense. It's Seichel. Avraham Avinu used his Seichel to figure everything out. But the famous expression that common sense is not so common. And therefore, since we spend the first years of our life, we don't spend them in intellectual pursuits. We spend them with very physical pursuits. And as we grow up, we develop an ego, and we want to be comfortable, and we want to have things that we like, and we get caught up with our emotions in all the early years of our life. So if we would wait and just leave it up to a person to develop intellectually on her own, then it would be very, very difficult task, a very uphill battle, and who knows if a person would be able to overcome in later years everything that's been going on in his or her life in the early years. So therefore, the need to be ma'orer people about avodas Hashem is because a person really is chayiv in avodas Hashem miderech haseichel, v'ha'akara, intellect. He can figure things out, and from there you move on to engage the entire person, as I said, in the emotional aspect of bonding with Hashem. But from when a person starts receiving tovos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is right when he's an uber b'me'e imo, until he or she develops seichel and understands, and we're really asking of a person to be like Avraham Avinu, zman oruch ma'od, very, very long time. And that's just long, and b'me'ela, since it's long, who knows what it'll be? Who knows if the person will ever be able to break out of the prison that they've created for themselves, with their involved in gashmiyustika things, and they don't think, right? After 5 years of breathing, you don't think anymore, maybe I should be makir tov for someone for that. And therefore, the Chayyim Talbota says, to stimulate people intellectually and to teach people about Avodas Hashem and why we're mechuyev to be Ovid Hashem and what's the nature of our relationship with Hashem. It's a chova, because if we don't do it, if we don't teach it, if I don't write my sefer, if you don't come to Rabbi Milinowitz's class, then you will be nishar, the Chayyim Talbota says, you'll be left with nothing, you won't have anything. If we just wait at sheyugmar sichlo, until we wait till the person's intellect is developed. So we have to tell you a lot of things. We have to tell you, make a bracha, right? We have to teach a child, and sometimes not just a child. We have to say, make a bracha. Why do I have to make a bracha? What does a bracha mean? What does it mean I'm a varech Hashem? What does that mean about the nature of my receiving something from Hashem that I make a bracha? What does it mean baruch? What does it mean Hashem? What does it mean Elokeinu? What melech ha'olam? Who cares? What's the difference? Why is it important for me to say melech ha'olam, right? If you don't say melech ha'olam, you're not yotzei a bracha. You learn hilchos brachos. You have to say shem umalchus. Why do I have to mention that Hashem is melech ha'olam if I'm talking about this apple? Right? Borei, pri ha'etz. Right? So, but we don't do that with a child. We say, make a bracha. Okay? And he makes a bracha. And then, as you get older, hopefully you keep on making the bracha. And therefore, we have to do that, because otherwise, right? A lot of people say, "Why should we teach a kid to daven?" I have a great idea. Everybody comes up with this great idea at one point in their lives. They say, "Let's not daven until we understand the words of davening." Wouldn't that be great? And really, a lot of the problem of davening is because we've been davening from when we didn't understand what the words mean. And we've been making brachas from when we really didn't understand what the words mean. Wouldn't it be great? I'm going to start a school. I got this great idea. I'm going to start a school that they're going to play. They're going to play in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. Then when the child maybe starts to understand that there's a Hashem and Baruch, and I could start teaching him, and then they're going to make brachas and they're going to daven, and it's going to be great, right? So if the person does that, he'll be left with a lot of wild young children that he can't tame. That's what the Chayyim Talbota says. So therefore, we have to start teaching and explaining, a person will not develop on his own, on her own. So we have to start teaching before they understand. We have to give over Avodas Hashem. We have to give over the Chiyuvei HaTorah. We have to start teaching. The person's not going to be Avraham Avinu. We're not going to sit in a cave in a right and figure everything out. So we have to teach all the things that the Chavis HaLodos talked about, and therefore hopefully develop it as the person's intellectual development grows and grows. That's the first part of Perek Aleph. The Ha'orah, he then says, Al Shnei Inyanim. So when we teach people, and we're Ma'orah people, of course we can't wait for them to develop it on their own, it's too dangerous. Even though it's logical, as he said in the Hakdamah, and Avraham Avinu did it, and he didn't do it with magic, and he didn't do it with Ruach HaKodesh, he did it with Seichel, he did it with learning, he did it with understanding, he did it by figuring it out with the koach haseichel that a person has. But the Chavis HaLodos says, we can't wait. We don't have the time. Avraham Avinu did it maybe when he was 3. Other shitas held when he was 40. We can't afford that. We can't afford to take that risk. And therefore, the Chavis HaLodos says, I write Shara Avodas Elokim, and I'm going to teach you, before you're capable of understanding it on your own, I'm going to teach you Avodas Elokim. Now, he says that there's two ways. The Ha'ora, the stimulation, the motivation, the understanding, connecting to Avodas Hashem, is Al Shnei Inyanim. Right? So what I'm going to be teaching you, he says, two shvilim, right? Two paths. Number one is, I'm going to teach you to understand. And this, again, I'll say it in the Chavis HaLodos' world, this is the goal. The goal is not, this is the shita of the Chavis HaLodos, the goal is not to eat matzah on Pesach because Hashem told you to, although it's absolutely necessary and you have to do it. And He will explain why you have to do it. But that's not the goal. That's not the goal. If you look in a Sefer HaChinuch, for example, the Sefer HaChinuch explains every mitzvah. And every mitzvah is supposed to bring you to a thinking awareness of Hashem, a thinking awareness of what the nature of Hashem, of your relationship with Hashem, what Hashem wants from you. It's supposed to engage you, it's supposed to stimulate you, it's supposed to make you knowledgeable about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're thinking about the chukim that have no reason, so the Chavis HaLodos will explain that the chukim also are meant, and if you look at a Sefer HaChinuch, this, you'll see it, the chukim also, although we can't fathom the depth of the meaning of every nuance of what the mitzvah is supposed to do, but it has its own world of obligating us to perform a certain pa'ula that we will understand. There's some basic understanding of what we're doing. We're not just going through motions, and it has nothing to do with our seichel. It just has to do, okay, do this at 2:00 in the afternoon. There's no such thing. It has meaning that we can comprehend. We can't fathom the depths of the meaning. It's beyond us. But we'll see as we go through Shara Avodas Elokim. You know what I say about chukim? That he'll deal with it later in Shavuot Elokim. That on some level there is an understanding of, there is a level of understanding that we can understand about chukim. There is a level of understanding. We can't get, right? Shlomo HaMelech says, Amarti Yachkom Avihi Rechoka Mimani. We can't fathom the depths. We can't understand it fully. Tefillin we can understand fully. A chok, maybe we'll only understand why Hashem wants us to be involved with this. Maybe we'll only understand why we have to obey Hashem if He tells us to do something. There certainly is a reason for a chok. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's really the words I'm about to say are HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rational being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seichel mufshat. He's not an, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do things without a reason. That's the basic nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we can't, you know, we can't understand the objective nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what we are given to understand about HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah is that there's a reason for everything, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything for a reason. He is not, so to speak, an irrational being who just does things. Everything has a reason, a time. Whether we can fathom the time or not is a different story. Let's move on. So the Chovetz Chasid says that you have to understand two things about Avodas Hashem, and which I will be teaching you, he says. One is Takua B'Seichel, Natua B'Hakoras HaAdam. One is grounded in a person's intellectual understanding of what he or she are doing, why they're doing it. Notzer Olav B'Shoresh B'Riaso T'Toldoso, and a person's born with that. A person is born with a brain, with a seichel. A person is born to understand. You're not supposed to learn something and be told, well, you know, you have to try to understand. It's there for a reason. It, your understanding of it will give you a glimpse into the nature of Hashem, into the nature of your relationship with Hashem, into the nature of the world and how Hashem relates to the world and what the purpose of the world is, and so on and so forth. So the first method of stimulation is to teach you this knowledge that will help you understand. And that's really the goal, the Chovetz Chasid Shita is. The second way is through following the mitzvahs of the Torah. The mitzvahs of the Torah inherently are there to lead you to these intellectual understandings. And he's going to explain the necessity for it, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nosein HaTorah, understood that the only way to reach the goal, the only way to reach the first thing we talked about, is through learning Torah, through understanding Torah, and through doing the mitzvahs, through tying ourselves and doing the will of Hashem. That's the way we bond with Hashem, and that brings us to a level of understanding. And he'll explain all of this in Shara Avodas Elokim. Konoi b'derech Hashama, v'hi HaTorah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us at Har Sinai to teach us what to do, to teach us how to serve Hashem, to teach us right from wrong. We can't rely on our own intellectual figuring out. We're not Avraham Avinu. We can't figure out what's right and what's wrong. If we were left our own devices, we wouldn't do that. So the Torah sets us up and gives us guidance, gives us the framework. The Torah gives us the framework in which we're supposed to steig and grow and understand and bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's basically the first parak. The first parak, again, talks about the need for teaching it. If it's so commonsensical and logical, as he explained in his Hakdama, why don't we just tell people, go figure it out? And we have a role model, so to speak, in Avraham Avinu. He figured it out. The others figured it out. And then, so he says, because we can't wait. The nature of a person is that the first few years of life is spent on self-gratification, right? You're not engaged with Hashem. You're not dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not aware. You don't have the seichel. The intellectual maturity comes only later, and by then it might be too late. So you have to be taught it. We have to sit here and learn about it. And the teaching will consist of two paths. The teaching of Avodas Hashem will come across two shvilim, two paths. One is what he will call throughout Shara Avodas Elokim, Ha'ora Sichlis, intellectual understanding, which he will explain brings you to an emotional bonding with Hashem. Emotional meaning the emotions like Ava and Yira and Kniya and Bittul, the way we're supposed to feel towards Hashem. And Ha'ora HaToronis, that's the second one. Ha'ora Sichlis is the first. Ha'ora Toronis is the second, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually tells us rules. Don't eat this. Don't do this. Do this at a certain time. You have to act a certain way. You have to dress a certain way. I'm giving you rules and regulations. And that's the second shvil, the second path. And the first few prokem of Shara Avodas Elokim will actually explain the need for both. What would be if we would only have one and not the other? Why we wouldn't be able to become shleimim in being Ovdei Hashem. Perek Beis, he goes on to Perek Beis. Perek Beis, he actually starts explaining. That's the whole Perek Aleph. I can't help it. I can't write my own. You want to be tested on it? Okay, Perek Beis. Just think, you'll be able to. I'm sure some of you have been complaining that Rabbi Milinowitz is very repetitive, and we're spending so much time on the Hakdama. And why do we have to spend so much time on the Hakdama? So you got a bonus now. It's not even a half hour, and you finished Perek Aleph. Not according to the Chavos Halvavos. There's a lot of Svarim out there, and a lot of Rishonim, and a lot of Achronim. We're learning Chavos Halvavos. What happened? We take a break after each perek? A talking break? Perek Beis. Perek Beis explains why it's necessary. Hatzorech hamevi al kol chelek mechelke ha'orahu. The reason we have to have the Torah giving us rules and regulations that we do and we follow before we reach a level of understanding what they're all about is because the Ha'orah HaTekua B'Seichel, our intellectual capabilities of thinking, of understanding, are weak. The three reasons why it would be totally overcome by the more Bahami side of our being. That's what he will explain now. As we see it, and I told you, when you have the word of the Chavos Halvavos come true to life, if you ever read about or hear about, as I said, the Eastern religions, which say that you just commune and you meditate and you just bond with Hashem and you think about the higher being and you just love Hashem and love all the people in the world and you just float, and right? So they are the biggest Rishoim and Menuvolim, and they have no sense of Ben Odom Lachavero. Why? And now the Chavos Halvavos goes through in Perek Beis three reasons why it's necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have given us rules and regulations that we have to follow before we understand what they're all about. In other words, lo mi boya. That goes without saying that the Torah and its mitzvahs are perfectly arranged, that if we delve into it and study it and learn it, it will bring us to Akaras Hashem, to Akaras Avoda, to Akaras the nature of ourselves and of the world, and thereby build the relationship that we bond with Hashem. But before that, it's necessary to just follow it and do it before we're able to intellectually delve into it, understand it, and have it affect us. Why? He says three reasons. Reason number one, he says, every person is conflicted. Every person is mixed up. Every person is a walking contradiction. Every person has different energies, different kolchos, different forces in a person that are constantly battling with each other. It's like, right, like Shem Ve'Ever told Rivka, Ula'om Ila'om Yemotz, there will always be a battle between Yaakov and Esav. Because although it says there's a battle in a person, there's two parts to a person that are always battling. And they're always trying to get the upper hand, and they're always trying, he says, to drag the person, right? There's a person, and the person is made up of two parts. And each of these two parts are fighting who's going to capture the person, who's going to make the person their slave, who's going to make the person follow their dictates, what they want. The nefesh and the guf. And the Chavis Aldova says as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person that the guf has certain demands. Some of them are natural, right? We have to eat. We have to sleep. Or at least when it's no tests coming up. Right? As we get older, there's different things that the guf desires. The guf wants to be comfortable. The guf wants to have hana. And that's the nature of the guf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Now, so it's interested in pleasure. It's interested in being comfortable. It's interested in doing things which make it feel good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the guf that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because it's necessary. It's necessary for the world, for Yishuv HaOlam. It's necessary. It's a person's desire for power, for kavod, for strength. It's a person's desire to make himself immortal, to do things which will be in existence after he dies. Right? A person wants to perpetuate himself. A person has certain desires which are really necessary. The reason they're there, they're problematic, because if we just have that, then we spend our whole life seeking pleasure. But it's there. There's a good side to it. The good side, he says, is because they are necessary for the Kiyama Olam. If a person wouldn't want to eat, right? You know what it's like when you're on a diet, right? So if you don't want to eat, so you can go for days without eating. And you go without sleep, and there wouldn't be Doros. There wouldn't be Doros. People would die out, and there wouldn't be families. There would be nothing left. So all sorts of kochos, all sorts of desires. It makes you buy and sell things. It makes you build. It makes you create. You want kavod. All these things are, to a degree, necessary for Kiyum HaOlam. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make the guf, he says, and with its desires and wants and taivos. But, he says, and listen to what he says, this is why every person really should end up on a psychiatrist's couch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also put into the person something called a nefesh, a neshama, which, if the neshama had its way, it's moes, it's disgusted and repelled by all of these things we just said. It's disgusted by anything that's temporal. It's turned off by anything that has to do with gashmius, with olam hazeh. It's silly. You're wasting your time. The neshama knows what it's all about. It's a chelek eloka mimal. The neshama says, I'm nitzchius. I'm spiritual. I'm ruchni. What are you wasting your time? I should waste my time eating. It's moes ba'amidoso b'olam hazeh. It wants nothing more than to leave olam hazeh and go back to where it came from, liporeg mimenu. And it wants to go back and be a chelek eloka mimal. It wants to be spiritual. It doesn't want to be in a silly world where people waste their time and do all sorts of nourisher things, silly things. And then there's no point. It's all going to come to an end, and there's no tachlis to it. You're not doing the. You know, what is it all about? The he, hachochma hashleima. Chavis Avava says that's smart. That fella smart. The other fella, the one, the goof, not so smart. It's wasting its time intrinsically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. Because he wanted, Kiyama Olam necessitates that we waste our time. Right? If we want to live, if we want to exist, so it's necessary for us to eat. It's necessary for us to be comfortable to a degree. Right? If we get married, we have, right? But the Chochma Shleima, the Hakara Hashleima, the Chochma Hashleima, says this is all the way. So a person, like, that's what I mean, a person is always torn. He's torn. There's one part of him that says, this is Gishmak, this is good, I want to be here, I want to have pleasure, I want to enjoy myself, I want to do what makes me feel good. And the other part of him is saying, or her is saying, this is silly, this is a waste of time, there's no tachlis. The tachlis is to be ruchni, to be with Hashem, not this world. It's crazy, I got to be nuts for being here. Get me out of here. The neshama is screaming, get me out of here. And the guf is saying, more, 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 I want more. And the Chazalova says, this is a constant battle. Now, we have a problem. Right? Because, the Chazalova says, ha-hanos, ha-gufios, kodmos, el nefesh ha-odom, min-u-rov. It's not fair. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the neshama at a disadvantage. Because for the first years of a person's life, the guf is functioning. A baby, from the moment it's born, is hungry, wants to be fed, wants to be bathed, wants to feel warm, wants to feel cuddled, wants to feel good. And the neshama doesn't get around to thinking about Devarim Ruchniyum and what a waste of time this world is until much later. So, you know, when you're playing a game, the person that goes first, so they have an advantage. They could score a lot of runs when they are first, and the other person didn't even get to the stadium yet, and they're already playing the game. So it got there first, and it caught a person in its reshet, in its net, before the neshama, before the nefesh, we'll call it, right, had a chance to do its thing, and it became the person's pal, the person's friend. The tzudzu b'hen, he became his friend. Mitchilas inyano, from when he was born. Chazak v'gadol, so he got the advantage. Certainly, igbira midas hataiva, al shor midosa, v'achagovra al haseichel. So by the time a person gets around to developing seichel, his eyes are blinded. He doesn't have his kochos. So if we would just leave it at that and just wait for the person's nefesh, seichel, right? He calls the nefesh, he equates the seichel with chochma, right? It's intelligence. Intelligence says that this world is a waste of time. It's silly. It's things that don't matter. We're worried and we spend our time doing things that have no lasting value, no real value, no objective value. But so, you know, wait, it's going to be too late. The person's going to be caught up in that reshet. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah and said, these are the rules. We're going to limit, you can't just do whatever you want. You can't just do what makes you feel good. We're going to create a system where we're going to limit the power of the Gashmius. We're going to give it limits, gvulim. That's what he says. We're going to say, okay, on a certain day you have to do this. Every day you have to do this. You have to, right? You can't just do what you want. You can't just enjoy yourself, enjoy life. There's gvulim, what you can eat, what you could wear, how you act, how you treat people, how you talk, right? So the Torah was given. So right away, and we start training children from the age of chinuch, and they grow up, and they right away, it harnesses the guf. Even before there's any seichel involved, but we've harnessed the guf, we've tamed the guf. It's not a wild horse just running wild. We've made a corral, we've bound it in. We said this and this, and in doing so, we're giving ammunition and strength to the neshama, because the very act of listening to Hashem, of overcoming what we would want to do, because it says in the Torah we couldn't do it, so that we're pumping up the neshama before it reaches the level of seichel, of understanding, right? Before the understanding arrives on the scene, we're pumping up just by the very act of limiting, and of limiting the hanos haguf, of limiting what a person can do, by the very act of doing things. I'm talking about mitzvahs aseis now. Doing things. I know I have to be at a certain place at a certain time, and I have to act a certain way, and I have to daven, and I have to learn, and I have to get stuck on, I have to this. So that, and I don't want to. I want my money. No, you got to do it. Okay. So you're limiting the kolchos haguf, and you're energizing the nefesh, even before the nefesh would develop on its own. So that's reason number one.
So why was Yitzchak given a chance in the beginning?
Well, that's a good question. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to overcome this. This is part of what life's all about. To overcome the natural instincts of a person, and to actually be Mekadesh, and to make the Kolchos HaGuf spiritual, to take them and to turn them around. So that's part of, that's the Nisayon of life. That's the Nisayon of life. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't. What? I'm sorry? The neshama understand. I'm sorry, I can't hear.
How does it help understand what we're doing?
How does what understand? How does the. How does the neshama understand? It doesn't have to understand. Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the machine called a person. Right? So, by the very fact that we're following his instructions and what to do, so you ask me how it energizes the neshama without understanding? He's explaining Ha'ora Toranis now. He's explaining why, even before understanding, it's important to develop, it's important to have the Torah and the mitzvahs limiting us even before we understand what they're all about.
He didn't say why.
He's saying why it's necessary to have it even though we don't understand. Before we reach the level where it brings us to understanding, so there's three reasons why it's necessary to have it even without understanding. The first reason is because the guf has such a big head start. That's reason number one. The second is, right, so I gave a mashal in the first reason that the guf got onto the playing field first and got a chance to flex its muscles and play the game and get friends and become strong before the neshama got to the stadium. The second reason, he says, is the opposite reason. Because the guf has the home court advantage. Because this is a world of gashmiyosticker things. If you look around the world and you look at what a person's senses, the five senses, and how we relate to the world, so the seichel feels very lonely. The seichel comes down, the neshama, the seichel, the ruchni part of a person, which is the seichel and the neshama, it looks around and it feels like, you know, you just got off the plane and you're in a foreign land and no one's talking your language and no one's acting the way, like, you don't understand what anyone's doing, right? It's like you just got to Israel, right? You don't know how to do anything, you don't even know how to ask for anything. She says, the seichel is an etzem ruchni from the olam haruchni. For who nochri ba'olam hagufim. Right? This is the territory, this world is the territory of the guf. If you look around, the teva and the chumrius and the gashmius of the world, so the guf belongs there. This is part of the guf feels at home. The guf feels at home with gashmius, with buildings, with everything that's going on in the world. So the guf feels very comfortable. The neshama feels very lonely. The Haseichel, but Meshehu Nochri, it's like a stranger in a strange land. Ain lo mechazek, below chover, hakol kenegdo. You want to start crying for the neshama. No one's his friend. No one. Everybody's. No one's gurus him. Like what neshama? Who neshama? What seichel? Let's do it. Look around outside. So therefore, it needs chizik. It needs refuah. It's at a disadvantage. That's the second reason it's at a disadvantage. The first reason is because it comes second, and that's the first reason, is because the seichel comes second, and the guf had many years to get the territory. The second reason is because the guf is at home in this world, and the neshama is not at home in this world. And therefore Hashem gave a Torah, and Hashem said, this you can't do, this you cannot do, right? You're not so much at home, it tells the guf. You have to exercise self-control. You can't just do what you want. So now the guf starts to feel a little, oh, you know, I'm not in my territory. This is not my home court so much. I can't just do what I want. I'm limited to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, right? And as we said, Yishuva Olam, I'm limited to those things. I can't just go off. So that limits the power that allows the neshama to catch up and to get chizuk. He says, V'hoysa HaTorah refuah l'chayli kazeh, right? Because the person just goes, follows the guf, it's a chayli, and therefore the Ha'ora Toronis are things that weaken the guf. What does it mean it weakens the guf? It means it teaches us to exercise self-control. So the guf doesn't feel so much at home anymore. And the Chodesh Elul is interesting, gives a list of mitzvahs where you see that this is what the mitzvah, without understanding what it's all about. But this is what the following things accomplish. He says, HaTfilah, very fascinating. You should pick davening. I would imagine the pshat is that when you daven, you feel you're not in control, and the guf always feels it is in control. So davening weakens the guf's gaiva, weakens the guf's arrogance that it's on its home court. Tzom, fasting. Stokos, giving stokah. When you give of yourself, you're weakening the guf's natural tendency, right, to want everything. Gemilus chasodim. All of these things. Well, this is a short list he gave, but think about it. Tefillah, tzom, tzedakah, gemilus chasodim. Then mechaya the seichel. And they teach a person, right, it's not all about the physical. Before you understand what the mitzvah is about, it teaches you it's not all about the physical. There's more to the world. There's another layer of the world that maybe you can't see with your senses, but it's there, and you have to relate to it, and therefore do this and don't do this, and so on and so forth. Okay, we'll stop here. What? Oh, okay.